So, the foundation for this, for the message, will be what Jesus says in Matthew 16:25, which is, "Whosoever will lose his soul for my sake shall find. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." And a good framework for this would be, or like the titles. There's like multiple titles to this. Which is self-denial, almsgiving, our devotedness to the Lord, the sufferings we go through, like our sacrifices with like fasting. Then I have just some scriptures I'm going to read concerning all of these matters. But before that, I wrote down some thoughts that I had while I was kind of studying this. I've noticed in my life, like, to get them little stones or them little bad habits out of your shoe, seems like there has to be sacrifices and sufferings to overcome them. You know, like whatever it may be that you feel like you need to get out of your life, just sacrifices and sufferings. And I wonder concerning all of these things if there's different measures with each man, just different measures. Also feel in all things there's a more perfect route to go, and things should be done free willfully. Rather than having a necessity, we should do things in devotedness. And there's more benefits in abstaining from something, even when it feels acceptable to do it, like instead of using your phone or eating, sometimes it's more beneficial to abstain from it. Just be still, pray, talk with the Lord. The scriptures, I'm just going to read them instead of, I'll call out the book, but I'm just going to read the scriptures. In Proverbs 11, "There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches." Second Corinthians. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." This would kind of tie in with something that Paul said, how we're not like those who commend ourselves, but like our commendation comes from the Lord. And it took me to think about the Pharisee and the publican. The Lord commended the publican, but the Pharisee was like commending himself. Like, "Oh, I fast, I give alms." But the Lord commended the publican. "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." It's also in 2 Corinthians. "But this is a good principle here. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loveth a cheerful giver." Galatians. I'm just going to read the first half of this verse because I like the principle of it. Paul says, "But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing." I think that can go with our devotedness, you know, to be just zealously affected in like fasting or like losing our life for the Lord. In whatever way, in whatever measure it might be. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I like verse 7. It says, God is not mocked, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. I think looking at it also in the light of doing good, like when we sow doing good, like the Lord, he won't be mocked in it. Like he'll recompense it. These next verses I read touch on sufferings of the Christian life, or sufferings. Peter, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Also in Peter, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Also over here, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is a trial, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Up here in 12, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. John the Baptist said, one comes mightier than I who are baptized in the Spirit and with fire. Sometimes, just being a Christian, it's how we go through things that can really seem just like a fiery trial. Philippians. This is Paul. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I really like this verse. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Back in 2 Corinthians, it's Paul. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Another one. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Something up here in verse 8, Paul says, as deceivers and yet true. I know some brothers, I'm sure you might have experienced like someone just calling you like a deceiver. Paul went through the same thing, like when we tell people, like Jesus says, love your enemies, you know, divorce and remarriage is adultery. People seem to not like that. The last one in 1 Corinthians. It's really good verses here. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Just thought, I was real edified by these scriptures. Hope bring some things back to your guys' remembrance. That's all I have. Open it up for comments and corrections.
Thank you, Brother Darren. like Walter Jr. in Proverbs and Brother Daniel and Malachi, and you, dear brother, you just quoted some scriptures as perfect devotion. Let that word sink into our hearts and try desperately to try to live them. I think they're great scriptures you read, and let us work at our salvation with fear and trembling. And thanks for reading those scriptures. The Lord be magnified.
Yeah, thank you, Darren, for those readings and reminders. And I think there at the end you said something like you just wanted to read those scriptures to, can't remember how you said it, bring them to remembrance again. I just wanted to say, I just wanted to say what I, the passage you read in Philippians, I really like that passage too, and it brought something back to remembrance to me. Probably most of us kind of know what it's like when sometimes a passage in scripture just really comes to life. You've read it who knows how many times, but at some point through, you know, your eyes are open to something in it, and it just really, really comes to life. Well, that's what happened some years back when I was reading Philippians 3, and I was just, I had just left the Amish church or was in the process of it, kind of dissecting all the arguments that came against my choices. We questioned the governing that requested this standard of uniformity that was being upheld or promoted or enforced, along with a lot of other things, and one of the verses that the bishop who had oversight over us used in defense of of a church having a standard of uniformity was this passage in Philippians 3 that says, in King James it says, walk by the same rule and mind the same things. And the way it goes sometimes is like they say, you know, they'll use that verse, and I remember him defining, you know, rule out of the Strong's Concordance and explaining why that's what that means. And it's like, okay, well, I guess I don't know what to say against that. And you never really quite go back and just really check it out for a while. Anyway, that's so it was that. And then I think I also had a phone call from my sister who was trying to, you know, convince me to not, you know, to not throw out all these good things that we've got from our heritage. And then one morning, I was in the house by myself for some reason. I don't know where my wife and children were, but I was reading Philippians 3 here. I was reading Paul and how he, what all he had, all the credentials he would have had as a Jew. You know, he was circumcised the eighth day, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, zealous. And then he goes on to say these verses that Darren quoted. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I counted as loss. And more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And these things were really kind of coming to life. And I was reading on down. I'm going to continue reading where Darren left off. Verse 12, it says, he says, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And then verse 11, it says, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on, so that I may lay hold of that which I was laid hold of by Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude, and if anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, and here's verse 16, it says, however, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. That's the verse that in King James says, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. And I came to that verse, it's like, oh, here's this verse. Here's a verse that's supposedly against my choices that I'm making here. And I thought about it for a little bit. And then, strange as this might sound, I read it in German and it was like, oh, this is not talking about like, same as in like uniformity type of same rule. This is, he just got done saying like, let's forget the things that are behind, press forward toward those things which are ahead, and let as many as are perfect walk by this rule, by this same rule. All of us, let us walk this way. And it just really came to life. And I remember just not even being able to stay seated. I had to get up and walk around, and it was full of life that morning. Anyway, I appreciate your readings.
Hey, Brother Darren, yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, just something real quick. I know you were doing it from your memory, this passage that's Luke 18, the parable of the two men, the one that kind of saw himself as pretty righteous, and then the other one that he's a tax collector, and he's beating his chest and repenting before God. So the two things that the guy claimed before God for his, you know, position of righteousness was, had nothing to do with almsgiving. You'd mentioned almsgiving. It was fasting and giving tithes of all that he possesses. And so one thing I noticed over the years is that, yeah, there's not one, not only in the Gospels, in the words of Jesus, but also in the New Testament, when somebody actually gave alms, there's not one account in the New Testament that kind of shines a negative light on that person. Not one. So I just wanted to correct that. The guy didn't claim that he did almsgiving. It was just giving tithes of all that he possessed and fasting and stuff. So
I appreciate that. Maybe the only the only thing that would kind of quickly come to mind is, and this is not like shining a bad light on somebody who is giving alms, and yet it would be the 1 Corinthians 11 or 13, where it says, if we give alms all that we have and have not charity, we are just empty. That's the only one that would come to mind. Is like,
the thought I had is kind of more of a question that I've been thinking about, and relates to carrying our cross. I've recently just been feeling like I hear other brothers, their situations, that their cross is so great, especially certain marriage situations where unbelieving spouse, we visited Joe Lopez and, you know, his situation, just the things that brothers have to bear, and we can look at our lives and feel like our cross isn't very hard, and like, how within the body, how do we handle that? What does it mean to bear each other's burdens? I guess just the thought, whenever our cross doesn't feel heavy and we look around and other people's crosses look really heavy, like, what can we do about equalizing that somehow? And I don't know, through prayer for each other, being there and listening to one another. I don't know if anyone else has thoughts on sharing those burdens. It's been some things I've been reflecting on.